Good evening, this is Katie Costello, and you are listening to The Shell Sessions on EnterTheShell.com.
Broadcasting live from NoHo 2 Studio, it is the Enter the Shell show, and you just heard the song Feel the Water by Eddie Cohen, and that was actually recorded here at NoHo 2 Studio. It was when NoHo 2 was just barely a budding studio, and Eddie Cohen was kind enough to come in and perform with Adam Gust, the drummer, and this is the special edition of the Enter the Shell show entitled Shell Sessions. Try saying that 4 or 5 times. I dare you. Now, with me today, I am joined by none other than, he's a passionate filmmaker, and he's here promoting and raising funds for his film that he's going to try to release called Schizo, which is a psychological thriller. I'm joined by Christian Elder. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I skipped over it real quick, but you actually do poems?
Yes. Yes, I do poems. I think here in Los Angeles, I'm predominantly associated with the poetry community and the poetry scene, which has meant a great deal to me. I have a history of having performed all over the city, all over really the state, to be honest, and in other parts of the country for the last, I'd say, 20 years.
Well, when did you fall into directing? Because when you write poems, you know, obviously just writing in general is going to flow. I think those two correlate with each other. That's just me, though. But when did you start getting the directing bug?
I think I've always had the directing bug. I've always had an affinity with movies and an affinity with the language of cinema, and I think in many ways that my ambitions as a writer have always been inexorably propelled towards writing for movies and writing for film. And even my poems, which were the first stage, the first phase of my process of becoming a writer, when I was a neophyte writer, those were like little movies to me. They were like three 5 minute little visual movies, because I like to tell stories that that are very visually evocative in every sense of the word, as I pen them.
you're kind of just seeing these like mini series in your head and then just working out through there?
Well, yeah, but it's not simply just like miniseries. It's like I think that the juxtaposition of certain words create spark an image in your mind, and I find that very, very compelling. I have as a poet. And in my, you know, the beginnings of my writing career, I just simply wanted to build upon those images and to conjure those images. I did not have any sort of concern with telling a story as much as I wanted to paint you a picture. I literally wanted to paint you a picture. And then slowly along the way, I started becoming interested with the idea of using these pictures I painted to tell you a story. So, and that, of course, led to me writing scripts, because I was a movie lover anyway. And we were talking before. My father was also a writer as well. He wrote plays, and he also wrote for the screen. And so it was a natural segue for me to move into writing. From that point, naturally, with this love for visuals and for pictures, it was only natural that I would gravitate towards directing too. And luckily enough, I was able to meet some very amazing people, some very great, you know, people in my opinion, one of which is my producing partner whom I work with right now, whom I want to mention, who unfortunately cannot be here, is Jessica Matthews with Springfield Films. I was lucky to have met her approximately 7 years ago, and to really hit it off, share a vision for telling stories and painting pictures, so to speak.
Let's talk about this latest story that you want to tell, Schizo the Film. Go to schizothefilm.com.
Yes, I will say that several times. I was tempted to take on your your little dare to the audience to say shell session, shell session, shell session. So I just wanted to say that, just a few shell session, shell session, shell session.
It's shell session.
Shell session, shell session, shell session. You know, it, there's something vaguely naughty in there. There is, actually.
I like that.
No. But yeah, now what we're doing, as it pertains to my movie, is we're trying to raise funds, and this is really a grassroots effort. This would be my first feature film. It's not Jessica's first feature film. She has produced a movie called Wedding Day, but. This would be my first feature film. I've only directed, commercials and shorts and things of that nature. But this movie is more or less about a girl who has schizophrenia, and she ends up writing a stage play. Which is through a cathartic process for her to work out her own personal demons. And in the process of writing this very cathartic work, this stage play, she develops a character within it that becomes a manifestation of her own of the delusions from her disorder. And this manifestation becomes almost like a living, breathing existing person in the context of her life, and through her interactions and her open dialogues with this confection of her mind, she develops a love interest, and oddly enough, and this love interest becomes sinister when he starts to suggest that she knocks off or murders her boyfriend in real life.
Well, that's more than sinister. That's, you know, that's evil. Nobody thinks like that. Well, that I know, you know.
No, you know, it is I wouldn't say it's evil.
You wouldn't consider killing someone evil.
No. I don't, because in the context of the script, and you know, and I think a lot of people have that impression of it. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that the script is actually very, very whimsical. And it has, even though it is a psychological thriller, it has a lot of flights of fantasy and it has a lot of comedic undertones. And so it delivers it on a very, palatable platter. And it actually ends up becoming a very sort of happy ending. It's dark. It's definitely very dark, but it deals in a territory that is not it's not downbeat essentially. And what I try to tell people also about it, which is widely different, is that this movie is like a big Twilight Zone episode. It's it has that story, but that story is told in pieces like a puzzle. So it has some twists to it. And if I had to compare it to any two movies that I admire, I would say that it is kind of like a cross between Memento and the wonderful film by Julian Schnabel, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, because it all focuses on the lead character's perspective on how the events occur. And also those events happen to occur in a reverse chronology throughout the movie. So imagine you have your movie where the supposed murder takes place at the start, and then you find out everything that happened leading up to it from that point forward.
You're just being mind fucked the entire time.
This is correct. This is correct. And it's an it's enjoyably so. There is foreplay involved.
With your mind. I love it. You know,
I just want to say this, not to interrupt, but yeah. I do need to say this several times. www.schizothefilm.com. That is the website. You go there, and on the website, you will see a short presentation video that is hosted and given by Jessica Matthews and myself. And from that video, you can click on that, and that will take you to our Kickstarter account, where we are raising funds from here until July 21st to make this film. We need a capital of $60,000. So anyone who is an independent cinema lover, who loves indie movies, who wants to support these kind of micro-budgeted projects, which there are very, very little of, by passionate, artistic filmmakers, please go to the site and make a contribution. And if you can't make a contribution, because it is hard times, if you can't make a contribution, by all means, please spread the word, like us, post us on your Facebook page, tweet about us, www.schizothefilm.com. That is spelled www.schizothefilm.com.
Now, we're going to have all the links on enterthesheld.com and on the homepage on enterthesheld.com. We already have the movie poster up, and if you click on that, it'll take you straight to the Kickstarter. So no worries. Even if you can't remember it, we got the
link. And
what
was that about
you.
The movie poster on the site again there, DJ Turtle?
Well, it's already right there, and you click on it, and guess what? Straight to Kickstarter.
No, really?
Really.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to try that myself.
Do it four times.
Shell session, shell session, shell session. Shell session. I feel like I'm ordering something in a seafood restaurant. Yes.
You have just ordered some Tristan Clope.
Tristan Clope.
Yeah, we're going to hear his song,
okay.
So Alive, and we're going to have more with Christian Elder. And you know what? We're also, if you always wanted to be in a movie, we're going to tell you how you can do that. That's all coming up next right here on the Enter the Shell Show.
All she ever wanted was a choice. All she ever wanted was a voice. The black sky. Finds no light. Take your shoes off by the door. Throw your clothes off on the floor. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror, my dear. That's what. She's so we'll be right back.
And you just heard Tristan Clopay. Find him on his website, TristanClopay.com. We're going to have all the links as well as that actual session that took place. We're going to have the link so you can listen to the entire thing because it was a really cool thing that he did. He heard about us. He's in from Florida. And he was like, well, I'm actually going to be down here recording. So with luck, we actually had some space available. And so we came down and recorded, and lo and behold, we got that out of it. So it was great. If you know bands or anybody that wants to be involved with End of the Shell, they can always just email us, just like Tristan. He heard about us. He emailed us. And guess what? We liked his music, and he was on. But I digress. Back again with Christian Elder talking about Schizo, the film.
Christian and Tristan rhyme.
Do they? I didn't even think of that. I was just too busy, like, okay. Because I almost messed up, and you'll hear this in the show, his last name, Clopay. Because it was just foreign to me. I never heard a name like that before. So I literally, like, had to learn his name.
It's a great name.
It's beyond fantastic.
I'm trying to remember, Tristan, there's a great book. Thomas Mann's, is there a Tristan? I think there's a Tristan in Thomas Mann's Death in Venice. But it's a great name. I've always liked that name.
Yeah. Let's talk about the idea of Kickstarter. It's fantastic. A lot of the bands and the artists that we have on use Kickstarter. You guys are using Kickstarter now to raise the $60,000. And you guys are offering some amazing rewards. One of them is if you're part of the, I think it's the executive reward, you actually can get like a walk-on role in the film. And I think that's really cool, especially for actors that are still trying to get their name out there and stuff like that. This is a fantastic way, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that it is. It is. And actually, and I wish I had the site material in front of me. I mean, thank you for mentioning that.
If you go to your Kickstarter, you could see right there everything.
That's right. If you can get to that Kickstarter, by the way, by going to www.schizothefilm.com. Yes. You can. It's the executive producer level. That's the highest level. That if you buy into that package, you get a speaking role, opportunity for a speaking role in the movie. And that's not the only role that's available, because there's also in one of our associate producer packages, which is a little lower than that, where you can buy into that package, and you can also get a walk-on role, but it is non-speaking. But yes, that opportunity is available.
Yeah, and just, you know, like I said, we'll have all the links and stuff like that. People can like check that out. And were you thinking of a soundtrack, or is there going to be a soundtrack to this?
Yes, there will definitely be a soundtrack, and I will be very open to a lot of people's input on that. There's a lot of ideas swimming in my mind in regards to the soundtrack, because I'm a very musical person, and I have a great passion and love for music. So yeah, there'll definitely be music. It's going to be a musical movie.
Going back to the actual film itself, and you being the writer, I know writers pull a lot from their life and put it on paper. Do you know somebody this schizophrenic?
No.
Thank God.
I actually, I do not. But I do have some. Or rather, I have done some research, which is not very hard to do. You can find some research on the internet on people who are afflicted with schizophrenia, whom I have the highest regard for, because it is a very it can be a very debilitating disorder. But I do think that people like that are often dehumanized. in the context of many things. And this is a really cool movie. And what's really fun about the movie is that it doesn't dehumanize this person. It makes them square in the front of what it's about, and it appreciates them for who they are. And it doesn't turn – it doesn't – the axis of the movie does not turn on this issue that they have. It just happens to be the way that we tell the story. Yeah, that's about the extent of it.
Well, where does the and this just dawned on me right now, but you're raising $60,000, right? And to me, I see these productions. We were talking about Spider-Man, the musical, and that kind of bloated budget. $60,000 is not a lot of money.
No, it's not. It's not. It's a drop. It's a drop in the bucket by the terms of any kind of independent film. And when you're talking an independent film, you're usually are talking in excesses of $5 million at the least. And but I do think that at this period of time that we're in, that there is a shift happening in the movie in the independent movie making community. And there is and within that shift, it's allowing some people that have, because of the changes in technology, the ability to make micro-budgeted movies, and the movies on a much lower budget, that can get some recognition and can get some notice. And that's what we're trying to do with the $60,000. And basically, this is how we look at it, or how Jessica and I look at it. If we can get 600 people, if we can get 600 people to all donate $100 to our Kickstarter account, we're good. We can get this done. We can get this in by the 21st and start our productions, our little grassroots production. If we can get 1,000 people to donate $60 each, we're good. We've got it, you know. So that's, you know, that's it, you know, and you know, and maybe, and there is some hope that we'll get some name people involved in the movie, of some sort. But you know, that's not what this is about. It's, you know, we're just going to be working with some, you know, some good actors and some good people that want to tell you know, a very, very fascinating and entertaining story. And I'm an artist.
Right.
I mean, that's where I come from. I'm not a suit. I'm an artist, you know.
And you know what? We should hear some of your art right now with maybe a reading of some of your poetry.
Do you think I'd that would love be to do that. I would love to do that.
Yeah. Let's hear, we're going to hear a poem. I was about to say, we're going to hear a song called No. This is the poem entitled The Audience is Listening.
Lady Heroine and the fine young media head chase the dragon through the brass ring of success pool. We know and revere the odyssey that we ride hard hearing to the Hollywood film. Ringing her body down like the credit sequence from the last reel of a Cassavetes flick. She is Goddard's first side effect. She is Kubrick's strange love. She is the only story ever told that anyone cares to hear or look at. The whole wet world has nothing in common with these cheap, mortal impressions. She has guessed them all beforehand, anyhow, sapped by the proof that the angel of fecundity is torn, or rather winged, on her ankle. Instead, she is a dreamaholic, a beast of impunity and sex, hanging from her flesh like a sideshow freak, a kiss walker who day trips and chain smokes with her eyes aflame and sues, catching one's frisbee heart in the theater of theaters. Thence the god-awful scent of cognac pops Vicodin and Valium over the stainless silver screen THX, raising the constant hair on our necks until the audience is missing in action. Kissing the vapid eye in the shadows of time. Bearing her merciless body over the chopping block of your spent soul. Raining poppies of blood set to the glass wilderness of the parking lot, scored by a blissless orchestra. The thought and the recipe of expression churning and cooking as plastic surgeons turn the great wide wheel of life into another pulp slasher piece of trash trailer that chases us to the foreign matinee. You and I have been to the New Beverly Cinema, where we can spew $5 for the price of admission. It costs all of our fear to survive. So let's case the snack racks, chew the red vines, and let our infant minds spill for forever and a day.
I'm a Raisin Nuts type of guy. That's just where I go with that, you know? I love Raisin Nuts, I'm just going to say. I was like, what? No Raisin Nuts in there? What's wrong with you?
I'll do one about Raisin Nuts. I'll definitely do one about Raisin Nuts. I had a movie poem. I thought that would be appropriate.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Everybody sits down and just, you know, thinks about what just happened, you know? Well, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to hear the song La Llorona by Omar Torres. And then we're putting you in the celebrity corner. I'm very interested, Christian, to see your thoughts on celebrities and stuff like that. All that coming up next right here on the Enter the Shell Show.
Salías del templo un día, llorona, cuando al pasar yo te vi. Salías del templo un día, llorona, cuando al pasar yo te vi. Hermoso y vil llevabas, llorona, que el laberinte creí. Hermoso. Me llaman el negro, llorona, negro pero cariñoso. Yo soy como el chile verde, llorona, picante pero
sabroso. Yo soy como el chile verde, chorrona picante, pero sabroso.
It is the End of the Shell show, and check out Omar Torres, omartorres.com. It was such a great time having him in here with Carlos and I forgot the other guy's name. Don't say that I forgot the other guy's name, but I did. But if you go on to the show, you can actually see I named him. Dude, you know, sometimes we just get so many people in here. I only remember bits and pieces.
I understand.
You know, and it's crazy. It's crazy.
I understand
that. But La Llorona, dude, one of my favorite songs that was done here. Let's get into the celebrity corner. And here's kind of a look at what's happening in Hollywood. Did you go to Coachella by any chance, Christian?
No, I did not go to Coachella.
Well, were you a fan of that, of these big festivals and stuff like that?
I've always wanted to go to Coachella, and I've often found myself, you know, on Monday morning reading about Coachella. So that's right. Yeah.
Well, now you can read about Lollapalooza. They just announced the acts, and there's a ton. And we're going to have the link for you to go and check out the entire list. But these are just kind of the highlights, or who I believe are the highlights. And I want to see what you think. Okay, Eminem is going to be playing. The Foo Fighters are going to be playing. Coldplay, Muse, My Morning Jacket, which I would love to see live. Who else did they got? They got Cold War Kids, Flogging Molly, A Perfect Circle, which I think A Perfect Circle would be amazing for skits of the film. If I don't know what you think, but I think that you should get some like rights.
What's the name of the front man? I forget his name.
Is it Maynard?
Maynard, yeah. I saw them. I saw A Perfect Circle. It might have been around maybe around 8-9 years ago. Great show. Great performer, Maynard is.
I've never seen
puts it. Everything into it.
Really?
It's really funny that you mentioned Lollapalooza, too, because I performed poetry at Lollapalooza out here in 94. Mm-hmm. And I was working for them that year because I brought 24 poets off of slams that I was holding the entire summer long, along with me, to come and perform on the third stage at Lollapalooza out here in 94.
Where was that? Was that at Irvine Meadows at the time? I think that's what it was called.
You know what? It looked like Irvine Meadows, but I don't think it was. For some reason, I don't think it was. It was a long time ago for me. We're talking 94. Yeah. But I do remember meeting a lot of really, really cool people. Like, of course, like Billy Corgan, and I met Nick Cave. That was really cool. And seeing some really, you know, the Beasties perform that year. But I love a lot of those groups. I think that Muse is great.
I'm not a big Muse fan.
You're not a big Muse fan?
I'm not a big Muse fan.
I'm not an avid fan of Muse, but I respect Muse. I'm also not a real avid fan of Eminem, but I do respect Eminem, despite all the weirdness and the controversy. I do respect him because he seems to have a voice and he seems to say what he wants to say. And you know, a lot of people will flog me for this, but I happen to be a Coldplay fan.
There's nothing wrong with it.
You know, I'm a Coldplay fan. And, you know, some people, I don't know, they find them vanilla. You know, I like Coldplay a lot. Yeah. I like that last album. I thought it was great.
And vanilla's great. And sometimes you add fudge and it's even better. You know what I mean?
Hey, so it's... I am fudge.
Yeah. real quick, rounding out the list, we got Deftones playing. We got Beirut, which I would love to see. Arctic Monkeys, Ween, The Cars. The Cars are going to be there. And
no Ben Orr. No Ben
no.
Orr. Sadly enough.
Why? Why is this? Tell me immediately.
Because Ben Orr is no longer with
No! us. Yes, yes. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. If I remember correctly, he passed of cancer. An amazing songwriter, an amazing singer. I mean, he was the McCartney to Rick Ocasek. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love it. CeeLo Green, by the way, Damian Marley.
Oh, CeeLo.
Yeah, Damian Marley and Nas. They're going to be performing their album. I forgot. For the life of me, it escapes me. But I know we reviewed it, and it was the most amazing album I heard. I was like,
really?
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, Damian Marley and Nas. I was like, all right. I'm like, I get it. It's cool. It's called like Relationship or something like that.
You know, I don't know where they get all these Marleys from. There's like way too many of them.
You can't keep track.
You know, I know. There's more Marleys than there are Wayans.
You know? I don't know about that. I would love to see a statistic on that.
It's just like, the Marleys. No, there are. There definitely are because, you know, Bob got around.
Yeah.
Bob, you know.
He knew what he was doing.
Jaman.
Yeah. And just to kind of finish it out, we got Mayor Hawthorne, who's going to be performing, who I love, Young the Giant, and Los Bunkers. And if you've never heard Los Bunkers, I actually stumbled upon them. Oh, it's Spanish rock, and it's very indicative of the old school Caifanes. So it's like really cool, really cool. So I'm really happy. Which, by the way, I just found out Caifanes played at the Coachella, and I was like, shit, if I would have known, I would have just known. I wouldn't have gone to Coachella. Although having the Caifanes play there is something really cool. I don't know if you're really into Spanish rock or anything like that, but that's kind of a...
I'm into all kinds of music.
Awesome.
You know.
Let's talk about other movies that are going to be in production or perhaps in production. Entourage. They're thinking about making Entourage now that it's finally going to end into kind of a movie franchise. Tell me. Tell me. I can't even put you in the theater of the mind of the expression that went through Christian's face. It was
Let's just put it this way. I'm not too excited about seeing...
Why? You don't like Entourage? I love Entourage.
I think Entourage was cute. I mean, I don't want to knock it. I mean, I think that Jeremy Piven is a great performer. I think he gets a lot of flack for his off screen antics, but you know, aside from that, I think he's a great performer and a great actor, and the show I think has been great, and they've had some great shows. I don't think it would be a disservice to take that show and go to the whole movie thing with it, much in the vein of Sex and the City, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
You know what I would like to have seen happened is I wish that the main guy, what's his name, Adrien Grenier, I believe his name is. I forget his character name, Vince, right?
Mm-hmm.
Vince. I would have liked to seen him turn into a paparazzi. Because and then just taking that angle, and now you're terrorizing all these.
Well, that's really weird that you mentioned. Did you see his documentary that he did
About him finding his father?
No, he did a second documentary about a teenage paparazzi.
Mm-hmm.
I
didn't even see it. No.
Yeah, it was very, very good. A very well known. Young individual who was shooting, I think, at 11 years old, 11 wow. to 12. And he, and in the process of making this documentary with Adrien Grenier, this kid started to get famous, and it was starting to play out in a very destructive way in his personal,
mm-hmm.
in his personal life and with his family. And his mother was becoming very, because it was like she had created a monster. When in the beginning, he was making money as a teenage paparazzi and was accepted by the you know, basically the crew that's out there, which is hard to gain acceptance
really.
In because they're like a cross between the mob and you know the Marines. You know, seriously, not even can
really.
Yeah.
How interesting! You're gonna have to let me know. No.
It's a good documentary.
Do you know what it's called?
But it's I forget. I think it's like it is called something like Teenage Paparazzi.
Okay.
You know,
we'll definitely check into that. I'm curious now. I really want to check that out. That live not necessarily fascinates me, but it's just so intriguing about the things that people will do and the lengths they'll go just to get like a shot. You know, I think for them, it's not about the money. It's the thrill of getting this shot that no one else has. Like, you produce something that no one expected would be produced.
Yeah, I do see that. There is sort of an extreme sport thing to it.
Yeah. And finally, I don't know if you're a big Johnny Depp fan. Do you like Johnny Depp?
I do. He's one of the major celebrities I have a great deal of respect for. Yeah.
Do you feel that right now there seems to be a, kind of a Johnny Depp hangover? We just got like saturated with him, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, you know, but it just for a while it just felt like he could do no wrong. He was better than Superman and Batman combined. It was ridiculous.
If you could have picked a lot of celebrities, and I might be, you know, saying something, you know, somewhat disparaging or restraining from
like,
saying something very disparaging.
Like
about,
who? Just start
you
saying.
Know, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. You know, I like to work with some people someday. But when you mention Johnny Depp, the guy's like the greatest guy in the world.
I know.
You know, I mean, come on.
He's too great. I'm like, he has a
great attitude, and he expresses himself well. He does not come off like he's above people or superior. He's good at what he does, and he doesn't take it too seriously. What more do you want to ask, you know, from a star, quote unquote?
He has officially signed on to appear in the upcoming big adaptation of 21 Jump Street, but it's just going to be a small little cameo role with Jonah Hill and everyone else.
Yeah, but do you know what the big project that he's got going on is?
Which one?
He's working with Gore Verbinski to do, you know, some people, it has created some controversy apparently, but he's working with Gore Verbinski to do The Lone Ranger.
But
Tonto's perspective.
Right.
As Tonto. He's playing Tonto.
They just can't find a good Lone Ranger right now. That's their problem.
Yeah. And that's a really daring, it's a really daring thing to do.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons. But I think that they have good intentions at heart with what they want to tell, with the kind of story they want to tell. So
I would have loved to put that same spin, except with Futurama. Me and my friends were big Futurama fans, and one of them actually came up with a brilliant idea, which was, are you a big Futurama guy? You like Futurama?
Futurama, you mean the cartoon?
Yeah, the cartoon.
You know, I think I've seen it once, really, honestly.
No worries. I love it.
I'm worried. No. I am worried. You know, when people say no worries, I like to counter with, no, I'm worried.
Then go.
Go back to England.
Exactly.
I'm worried.
Go back to England and get your Netflix.
And get worried.
Yeah, and get worried and stream Futurama because
there needs to be more worries.
Yeah.
You know, there are worries. What are you talking about?
But I'm trying to absolve you of them.
I had worries yesterday. I have worries tomorrow. What do you mean, no worries?
I'm just trying to absolve you. Like, hey, you know what? I know you have a lot on your plate. So, you know what? Hey, you know, don't worry about that one. But we thought it would be an interesting concept, the same kind of point of view, except looking at everything through the eyes of the captain, Zap Brannigan, you know, and kind of just seeing Futurama through his eyes, which I thought was brilliant too. You know, it's always cool seeing the other perspective of people that you know, or people that you think you know. I mean, I know these characters. I don't know them, but just to see them from a different point of view and to see that ideology of another person's thoughts is just intriguing to me. But yeah, so that's kind of what's going on in the world of Hollyweird and kind of just everywhere. We are going to get into the Artist of the Week, but before we do that, I want to hear one last poem from you, if that's cool. Would that be cool?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you.
Or are you
Thank
worried?
You very much. No, I'm not worried. I'm not worried at all. And I appreciate it. I appreciate you indulging me in you know, my poems. And I think that the poems are really a really great way to promote my work, because they are evocative of the kind of work that I want to bring into the world. They're often very probing, and they make you think, and they tantalize you with imagery. This is a poem that I'm just to give it a little bit of a preface, that's called The Killing Time, and it was written about a time when I was a child. And I was growing up not too far from where I'm recording right now in North Hollywood on La Maida Street, and a lot of early memories, and you know, that kind of thing. So, The Killing Time. When I was 5, my father held me upside down by my ankles. The sun turned on its antlers and wires, burned the clouds who were lumps in the sky to breathe the long day slow. Sneezed up into summer pixies, yes, sizzling stars, and the light on our porch was a soft, eminent glow. I sucked the barbs of my fingers till I lumbered to bed, where mother's words would play me backwards to life on La Meda Street. I watch the paint strip from the fences and the house cats clean themselves. Watched the sun washed, fleshed, colored Christ bleached to crossbones in the old lady's window. Watched the hair splash across Karen's face, bubble up in her button nose, red like a drunkard, full of blood, nectar, and fuel, clucking and laughing and spitting, moving her crescent mouth at you, turning in when her dad was home. The sky has turned auburn and clay. Now nobody's gone. A few forgotten names. The neighbor's pet barks at the kids beyond belief. Suburban snots kick the earth, frolic and piss up and down the street like madmen. Black eyes solid, teeth splintered, cheeks stuffed in parkas. Karen, beautiful things whisper here where the autumn was fat, collapsing all over like red lashes on the ground, the sidewalk. Played in the yoke with yellow leaves, moved and talked and tickled under tall, muscular trees, drenched, holding up more. And the world serves as a quiet, careful thought to meander down La Meda Street just to kill the time.
Oh yeah. I had to let it stew for a bit.
And let me remind everyone, www.schizothefilm.com. That's www.schizothefilm.com. I think I forgot to do that in complete.
No worries, no worries. Time. We're gonna have all the links.
Schizothefilm.com. And did I say Shell Session? Schizothefilm.com.
And Shell Session.
Schizo, yeah. Shell Session.
Right now, right now we're going to be talking, in theory, with Andy. Hey, Andy, what's up? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You're here with Christian Elder and, of course, myself. And it's now time that, and it's weird because every time we do Artist of the Week and we have you call in, It always becomes even harder because we don't know about the signal or whatever. So it's quite the now predicament that we now do. It's truly one of the hardest parts of the show that people have to decipher everything. So let's see if Christian can see who this week's Artist of the Week is. Go ahead and give him the clues.
All right. This week's artist has been in the music business for over 40 years and has been known for producing Declan McManus's first four albums, as well as supporting a very strong solo career. Now, this artist has music featured in the movie 10 Things I Hate About You, and was once married to Carlene Carter Cash. Now, who is our legendary artist of the week? Stop on by this Friday to find out what's shaking on the hill.
What do you think?
Oh, all I got was like 10 Things I Hate About You. Mm. And Carlene Carter.
Yeah, it's Carlene Carter Cash.
So that I'm thinking it has to be one of the, you know, the Cash Clan, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what. Find out on Friday. Go to Enter the Shell,
uh-huh.
And then we'll have it right there. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Andy, what's up? How have you been, man?
I've been all right. Not too shabby.
Well, what did we interrupt? If anything.
Nothing at all. Just, you know, lazing around on the couch.
Nice.
Watching the stories.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next week I'll actually do the clues, and I'll give you the day off. How about that?
All right.
I'll talk to you later. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Have a good one.
All right. There you go. That was Andy with the Artist of the Week.
That was insane.
What was that?
That was surreal. He just called in and.
Bam, right? All that happening live.
Yeah, boom, chuck-a-lock-a.
Hell yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a real quick break, and then we're going to get to some shout-outs and find out the moral of today's show. Here is a band that I'm sure you're well aware of. After, are you aware of After?
Oh, of course I am.
Yeah, well, you know, they came in and they performed one of their songs, Don't, with John LeJoie. He was actually called in,
mm-hmm.
and... It was a great time. So we're going to hear Don't right now on the Enter the Shell show.
Yeah. Clouds above the sea, don't let it shine. Allow me to be me and I won't die. Blood out in the snow makes it more white. Don't quit on me, I'll chase you one more time. They want to teach me what they don't know. Do you want to hear me? Don't let it go, no, no. Don't let it go, no, no. Don't let it go, no, no. Don't let it go. Set yourself free. Try again, soon there'll be nobody. Set yourself free, try again. Soon there'll be nobody looking. Jigsaw puzzle, bomb them or befriend. Jigsaw puzzle, who said there'd be an end? They want to teach me what they don't know. Do you want to hear me? Don't let it go, no, no. Don't let it go, no, no. Don't let it go, no, no. Don't let it go. Set yourself free. Try again, soon there'll be nobody. Set yourself free, try again. Soon there'll be nobody looking. And that's your moment. And that's your moment. Set yourself free, try again, soon there'll be nobody. Set yourself free, try again. And set yourself free, try again, soon there'll be nobody. Set yourself free, try again. Soon there'll be nobody. Oh, don't let it go, no, no. Don't let it go, no, no. Don't let it go, no, no. don't let it go. No, no, don't let it go. Don't let it go.
Thank you. It is the end of the Shell Show. Did you like that version? It was acoustic-y.
Yeah.
It was very nice. Yeah. It was very nice.
They're a great band.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Refa.com is where you can check them out. It's now time for shout-outs, and I'm going to give a few shout-outs out to Leo Tardin, Eric Lavia. it's always a crapshoot with these shout-outs. You know? NoHo2 Studio, NoHo2.com.
NoHo2 Studio.
Yeah, you've actually used the studio, right?
Yes, I have. I use this studio quite often.
And it's a great studio, seriously.
No, it's
right?
a great studio. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, Stitcher.com. We are streaming on smartphones. So if you got a smartphone, smarten it up with Stitcher.com. And you can now stream the Enter the Shell Show. There, do you have any shout-outs that you would like to give?
Shout-out. What constitutes a...
just anything. If you want to say hello to your mother or
yes, I'd say hello to my mom. Definitely always say hello to my mom. Hi, Mom. Shout-out definitely to my partner, Jessica Matthews, with Springfield Films. Shout-out to all the wonderful people who have thus far supported us on Kickstarter. Yeah, thank you so much for your support at this point. I'm trying to think of names, and I'm
no
thinking
worries.
Of Doug Knott for sure, Lawrence Bergier for sure, Vita. I remember the name Vita. Yes, thank you all, and keep them coming, and that's it.
No worries. And I also want to give a special shout out to TV on the Radio. They just lost their bassist. He had lung cancer. I think he died at the age. He was like 34 or 36, but he died of lung cancer. So
that's terrible. I like TV on the Radio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So a big...
they're also filmmakers, apparently.
Really?
That's where they got the name.
Mm. The more you know. it's now time to find out the moral of today's show. So let me get the demoralizer ready and find out the show. Lollapalooza Schizo Shell Session Kickstart Evil Jeremy Piven Raisinets Vanilla and Fudge. That means it's done. If you can...
I open...
Yeah. It's now time to find out the moral of today's show.
You don't have like a creaking...
Here, No, but you can rip open the envelope.
Okay. I read this?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. All right. It's the moral of the show.
Goodbye, liver. Goodbye, clothes. Goodbye, dignity. Hello, awesome weekend.
There it is. That is the moral of the show. I think it kind of encompasses everything, in my opinion. I don't know. I'm not the craziest man on earth. But my guest has been Christian Elder, schizothefilm.com. Go check him out. And most importantly, help support their cause. Remember, any size of a pledge, it's a start.
We're accepting $1 donations. I mean, as little as that, you know. But, you know, of course we'd appreciate, you know, like I said, you know, if, you know, we can get 1,000 people to all give us $60, if we can get 600 people to all give us $100, we're there. And, you know, it's not that much to do.
Yeah, and it all starts with you. Give back and, you know, let creativity breathe. Let it create. And it all starts with you. Thank you again, Christian, for
thank
being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much, DJ Anytime. Turtle.
We are going to now leave with Katie Costello. And Katie has been one of the main core artists that keeps on coming back. and keeps on wanting to do stuff with us. And thank you so much, Katie. We're going to leave. This is like one of my favorite songs that she has out right now. You can get her EP and her other vast amounts of music that's out. We'll have all the links on Enter the Shell. But here she is with Dig a Hole. And that's going to wrap it up for another edition of the Enter the Shell show. We are out of here.
EntertheShell.com. Thanks for distracting.